Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Alright, that's pretty good. That's the best one.
I am sure.
Pizza.
Showtime! Nothing wrong with getting a little.
Maybe you should quit acting like a bitch.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies that'll link it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNTS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1,141 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening!
And whether or not Joe's going to show up, I have no idea.
Me either.
So, you know, I did a couple of things that I found pretty interesting this week. So, my middle daughter, Avery, has a Samsung Flip. Is that the phone she has?
Yeah, I can't remember which iteration.
I think it's a couple months old. She dropped it and broke the main screen. And so it was the kind of crack that you can only see like in the upper left-hand corner a little bit of stuff. And the main screen folds. When you fold it down, it's got another screen on the back. But that screen is very limited in what it shows. So you can't really get to like the settings on the phone. And she got a replacement because it was still under insurance. The replacement came and you could do that transfer of the information via the net over the network. And the problem that she was running into is that you needed to get a confirmation on the other phone and then a code to enter it into the new phone. but she wasn't able to see that on the screen because the screen was cracked. So we're trying to figure out a way to get it over there. And I'm like, you know, you can mirror the screen and do different things like that, but you need to get to like settings in order to verify and accept to do that, which the phone with the cracked screen, you could see anything. And then I read online somewhere that if you could connect the phone into a USB hub with an HDMI cable that goes out, you could see the screen display on that where the HDMI cable's going. So what did it? And luckily I had one, because that's what I use on my laptop, just this little USB hub that's connects in through the USB-C here and has HDMI and USB ports on it. And it fit right into the phone and displayed right on the screen. We plugged in a USB mouse on it and was able to get that confirmation number, and she was able to transfer it over. It was displaying like her full phone screen up there. So kudos to that. Now I should have tried that with my phone to see if it would do that, but that transfer over the network took a good long time. And once it was finished, I didn't have time to go test out that transfer myself. So that's where it ended. And very impressive. On a not so impressive note this week, we had there was a serious bug that was released in the latest node version, in that it had an issue with network sockets on, I think the version is 4.17.0 was the release number, or 24.17 was the release number of node 24. Node 23, I'm not exactly sure what that release node number was. We're not using 23, we're using 24. Anyway, anytime it would try and make a network socket connection on Linux, this was specific to Linux, it would not happen. And this was a particular problem with connecting to any Google services, which we use a plethora of, especially storage buckets. You were getting errors with Google's authentication, OAuth authentication, and being able to keep that network socket alive with validation for the authentication. So the fix was fairly easy, but it was a difficult thing to start tracking down at first, because given that this was only a problem under Linux, you wouldn't see the issue on our local testing environment, which was running under OS 10. And when I first noticed this on, it was Monday, and I was in the process of updating our GitHub action versions, especially since like Node 20 has now been deprecated. There was GitHub workflow actions that were using Node 20, and they just needed to be updated so that they were using Node 24, which was a relatively simple thing to do. And so that, in conjunction with one of the requests, and I don't know if I spoke about this, but given that we want to kind of be a little more proactive on keeping our Node libraries up to date, one of the things that was requested was a check during the testing phase, that looking at any outdated libraries that we have. So there's a simple command that you could run using npm, which is npm outdated, and that will look at the current libraries that you have installed, what is the latest version, and report whether there's a newer version, and then display it in like a almost like a little table. But originally that was going in as its own little workflow, so I had to get that working in Bash, which I was able to do with the columns command, and that would then take the output from the npm outdated command. And what I did was I was outputting it in JSON so that I can then use JQ to pull out that information and pass it to the column command, to set all that up as like a column command in there, almost like the necessary table format for column to work properly, because the output that you were getting directly from the command itself just looked awful inside of the workflow screen that you see on GitHub. And once I got that working, it was great. But then it was requested that we only have it run on the first upload of the pull request, on the opening of the pull request, because a lot of the times what happens is people will be working on something, and then they will update something that's in a pull request, or they need to make changes. And we didn't want that job to run every time, because it's just going to be outputting like pretty much the same information. So I found a way to get it to run not only on the first pull request when it's open, but also if they alter the package JSON, which is where we list the libraries that we want to use, if that gets changed, it will run that update check on there too. So that got all put in place. And then a colleague came along and said, you know, it would be better if we could just, instead of it having displayed only on the output in the workflow job, if we could have it make an actual comment on the pull request, which then resulted in, okay, so we're not going to necessarily use column anymore now. I have to use Google's markup language, or not, GitHub's markup language. And That was a little bit challenging to get it to format properly, but I did. I got it to look exactly like I did in the workflow, which it still puts it there, but it also puts a comment in there and says, hey, these libraries are outdated. Here's the version. Here's the library name. Here's the version that you have installed, and there's a newer version. So the old version, the bad version, is in red, and the new version is in green, which means you need to update that. So that was almost the entirety of what the pull request was, to implement that workflow and then also update the action version so that they were no longer using deprecated software. And then Monday comes, so like this is working just fine all last week up till Thursday, and then Monday comes along, and all of a sudden the job is failing, our CI is failing end-to-end tests when they're running. So it's like, okay, the code hasn't been touched, nothing has changed. Now all of a sudden it's failing, and it turns out it's just a node bug. It took a little while to track it down. So when you ran it locally, you wouldn't see the problem because you're running on OS 10. But in the workflow up in GitHub, it actually builds a container and runs the integration tests against that. So that's on Alpine Linux, which is where the bug is in that version of Node. And as I was piecing through it, stepping through, trying to figure out what's going on, the guy I was working with has said, hey, you think this might be it? Because there was an issue on there. I'm like, you know, that is exactly it. And it was an easy thing to test because all I had to do was pin the version of Node back to 16, 24.16. So what we've been doing is to keep up with the minor versions of Node, which shouldn't have any breaking changes, so to speak, unless they introduce a bug, like in this case, we should be comfortable with just using the Node 24 Alpine image, which means you get the minor updates and the patch updates, but it doesn't move you from like Node 24 to Node 25 or 26 in that regards. So you just need to set it back to 16. So this kind of started trickling through a bunch of different applications that we were deploying. It hit two more applications, which I had to update, as well as a job that we run in a GitHub workflow and a whole other application were causing problems. So that was a simple, quick to go fix. Now, interestingly enough, at the same time that this was going on, in a completely unrelated repository, the one that we use for our story editor, which I've spoken to about in the past, which is a VIP WordPress implementation, we have a deployment script in there that will, once our WordPress story editor application is built, it archives it into a zip file. I would prefer tar.gz, but for some reason, when we originally set this up, the tool that they provided wasn't working with tar.gz files, so it's just using a zip file that gets pushed up to a Google Cloud storage bucket, and then the deployment will pull that down and push it out to VIP's dashboard for, or API to install in our environment. So that broke because they had done an update to their VIP CLI application, which is what we use to do the deployment. And for some reason, and I don't know, I don't think that they were related, but that did break. It broke the deployment process. So we had to pin that back to an earlier version for one day. Then they got that fixed the following day, and now we're back on that. So it's a lot of tracking stuff down and updating and watching bugs. We haven't had problems like this, knock on wood, with bugs in to that degree in the last 2 years, or it's been a long time since we've had any issue similar to that. But it was fun track that down, but there we are. So what do you have, Joel?
Not a whole lot, although I'm coming up on 1 week living without metformin. Doctor said that I could try not taking it and see if the blood sugar is staying in control, and it has so far. So I take my blood sugar once a day, usually in the morning, and it's been in control where it needs to be in the morning after fasting. So
has it gone down significantly, like below where you needed it to go down to?
My A1C back in December to now stayed the same. It's 4.8, which is normal. So anything like 5 or under is considered normal.
Uh-huh.
So thus far everything seems to be going okay. So I keep an eye on that. I still have the script. In fact, I even still have refills on it, but right now I don't need any. The rest of the meds stayed the same, so I'm on a couple BP pills, and I'll probably be on spironolactone for the rest of my life. That was the one that the nephrologist put me on to stop the sloughing of the protein in the urine. But other than that, things are going good. Had a good vacation on Kelly's Island. Unfortunately, my Fandic tent that I bought, which was great all weekend, decided it was going to snap one of the elbows in the tent as I was tearing it down, trying to fold it up. So, I'm trying to see if I can do something warranty wise, but if not, I'll probably pick up another one before the family goes camping again. But which probably not going to happen this summer, at least as a family. I might grab my tent and stuff. I have a backpacking style tent. I might grab that stuff and go. My local metro park will let me camp out overnight. All I gotta do is email or call them, the ranger, directly, and they'll give me a site. In fact, they'll even bring wood down to the site for me for my fire.
Uh-huh.
If I want to have fire. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I might do that, you know, just for the heck of it, just because, one, I like camping. You know, I love it. But so, other than that, I had one of my camp pie makers, because I had both of them with me. One of them decided it was going to crack across the top. Didn't really care about that too much because it was pretty old. The same thing with my dining canopy. Several of the little clips, as I was trying to collapse it down, decided they were all going to crack. And I didn't care about that either. It was a cheap Ozark Trail one I picked up, so I figure I can just pick up another to go over the picnic table before we go camping. It's not the most expensive thing it was. Excuse me. But so I'm hoping that Fanic will make it right and either send me the part where I can fix it, because I probably could do that, because it's just an Allen, like an Allen screw and a clip that holds those two pieces together. If not, I'll probably just get a core. The core has tents that are in the same price range or about the same size that are also some pop up. So I might try those instead. But I will say this about the Fanic tent: it went up really quickly. I had the main structure up like in about 4 or 5 minutes, all by myself. So without having my wife try to help, which honestly she can't help because she's just not tall enough.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man.
But yeah, it sucks. But
I mean, so what snapped it? Was it the process of taking it down?
No, taking it down was fine. Now, I will say that my wife probably did accidentally bend one of the poles a little bit. It wasn't, bent, seriously. but it had trouble like collapsing the pole down a little bit because all the poles are on this style of tent. All the poles are like attached to the tent, right? They don't come off,
right?
All right. So there should just little click buttons, and they're supposed to collapse down. And that part I got fine, and I even had the folded things in like they're supposed to be folded in. But past that, I was trying to fold it in and just trying to get it to the point where I could stuff it in the bag. And then, so I folded it and unfolded it a couple times, no problems doing that. But then the last time I tried folding it, it just decided it was that I heard something snap, and I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, oh well. But
other than that, you haven't heard anything from them, right?
No, I actually just sent a picture off to this morning from them, so we'll see what happens.
Is that it? Is it easy to replace the parts on that?
It could be, maybe. I honestly don't care what they do. I mean, I've had stuff like this happen before, and they just sent me a whole brand new one, so that's fine. I wouldn't care about that because I can keep the old tent and the extra parts, and you know, in fact, I could probably tear apart things and save all the parts and stuff. But you know, but it didn't leak. You know, well, granted, it didn't rain. You know, but but I will say one thing too. The site that I was in had a bunch of trees on it, and there's these freaking birds eating these berries, and they shit all over everything. So, including me, I'm standing there having a conversation with a camper, and all of a sudden, another camper, and all of a sudden, I feel something hit me, and it's bird shit. I'm like, God damn it. But, oh well. But other than that, it was a real relaxing weekend. I had a nice time. I did some rucking. I was going to run, but I decided not to. I just kind of relaxed and took recovery. But I will say the ferry ride over to the island was kind of rough.
Was it windy?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty windy on the way over. But
were there storms or anything? Or is it just
no, it was just windy. It wasn't. I mean, my wife didn't like. It was funny though. She left her window down part of the way, and we were kind of towards the front of the ferry, and the water was splashing up over the ramp and spraying all over the car. But then we were on the way home, and we just left, like packed up and left first thing Sunday morning. Rode the ferry over probably 8-9 o'clock, and then after we got onto the mainland, found a restaurant called Big Bobbers, and I had a good breakfast there. Man, it was really good.
What's it called?
Big Boppers.
Oh, I think Big Boppers.
Yeah, and it was like a 50s style diner.
Okay.
And I never had it, but I had a Greek omelet.
Oh, I love Greek omelets.
Yeah, gyro meat in it, tomatoes and onions and feta cheese and a tzatziki that you can put on top of it. Oh, it was really yummy. But I never had anything like that before, but it was really good.
Did it have black olives on it?
No, they didn't put any black olives on it, but it was a Marblehead. BigBoppers.net. That's their website. It was really, really cool. My wife and son had sausage gravy and biscuits. So, just a neat little mom and pop place. And and it came with the toast. You can pick toast. So, of course, I had sourdough with orange marmalade. Oh, yummy. But.
Lakeside, right Marblehead, Ohio, right?
Yep. That's just down the street from where the ferry is. So, But the island, as always, was good. And I had the first day there, first night, we decided after I got camp set up, we decided to hop in the car and drive to the west side of the island. I got over to West Bay Inn, and I had some black and walleye, which was phenomenal. And it was pretty cool. Now, we ate inside, although you probably could have ate outside. But let's see. Saturday, we're Battelle Darby. Okay. Going. Okay, we're at the Rux at the Battelle Darby this weekend. I'm kind of panicking a little bit about my race here because it'll be a – it's in 2 weeks this coming Saturday, and I haven't hardly had any trail runs. But that's okay. You know, I'm doing all right. You know, I've been doing a lot of treadmill runs because I do – seems like lately the only time I've had to run was in the evening, and Joel doesn't like to play Frogger at night. So I decided not to run outside, but and then it's July 11th. Is it July 11th? Yeah, July 11th is that race, which so it's a week after 4th of July. I have to see if I get either the 3rd or the 6th off for work. Since 4th is on Saturday this year. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember what day they give off for us. I don't remember. I don't know how those rules go. I don't either.
Me too.
Whether it's the week, the Friday. You know, it's probably the Friday, isn't it?
I would hope. That would be just fine by me. But hey, I'll be right back. I have to hit the restroom real quick.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh.
And then we can get into something else.
Oh. Sounds
good. I do have something else to talk about. Be right back.
Excellent. Yeah. Why is this? Why is this shouldn't be on the screen? There was excitement this week. The other thing that we keep running into at work is they were trying to figure out why our video processing setup. So we have a couple ways you get videos in. You can either upload them through our video management application, or there's a couple of new service feeds that we subscribe to. And for some reason, we keep ending up with files that are 0 bytes in size, or just like the container file itself for MP4, it's come out to be like 246 bytes, but there's no actual content in it. And in a couple of situations that we have noted is either we end up with like a 0 byte file, or, and I think this is what is also happening, is when that 0 byte file gets there, and let's say later on that file is updated, or the actual contents of the file get pushed up there through the feed, the 0 byte file gets cached on the Fastly CDN side, and that's what we keep getting delivered to us publicly. But it's just a challenge. All right, Joel, let's hear what you have to say.
Hey, back. All right. I did have one piece of equipment, tech-oriented, that I tested at the campsite, and it's a battery bank. I got it at Sam's Club from a company by the name of Watt Bricks. And this thing is a brick, man. It is a beefy bank. It has two USB-C outs, and then it came with a an adapter to plug into the USB-A port. So technically it would have three USB-C outs. And it has the total capacity of the battery is 99.2 watt hours. And it also came with a solar panel. So I was using this at night to charge my phone and stuff, since I did have electric at the campsite. But most, because my wife needed the power more than I did, because I actually used my my travel CPAP, which I also bought the battery to go with that as well. So I, for my CPAP, I powered it off the battery the entire weekend. I did have to charge it like once, and that's only because I probably didn't charge it before I left. For the CPAP, but for this Wattbrix, though, one day I decided, well, let's recharge this off the solar panel. And from overnight, from 100, starting at 100 when I went to bed, to keeping things charged up overnight, it dropped down to about 60%. So, and I put the panel out in the sun and had it plugged into the charger, and it went from 60 to right about 99% in about 4 hours. So, and it's going to depend on how much sunlight hits your panel on how fast it will charge. So the less sunlight, the less power the panel will produce, the slower it'll charge. But it was pretty useful. Now, I don't know how well it would charge. Like, if I had it, like, one of the reasons I bought this, because one of the things I thought of, it would be nice for when I'm backpacking, if I ever do get to the point where I can go on a backpacking trip, which I'm there now. I just need to buy a few things. Like, I need to buy an actual pack that can carry all my stuff. And I need to get water filtration too. But eventually I want to do some backpacking. So I think, I don't know how well this would work by strapping the panel on top of the pack while I'm hiking, whether it would charge it or not well. But I'm betting it probably wouldn't, because there's no way I could maintain the position of the cells with in relation to the sun. So, but for car camping, pretty nifty little thing. Pretty nifty little thing. And it's, it kind of looks a little bit like a small version of a Jackery, which eventually I want to get one of those, just because I think it would be great to have around the house. But I picked this up like when Sam's Club was clearing it out, so it's not the best thing in the world, but it's not the worst. So, good little battery pack. But I did get to fly the drone a little bit on the island. Got some pretty decent pictures from the drone, although it was kind of windy the day I flew it. So, and I probably should have charged a little bit more, but other than that, you know, it was still fun flying drone as usual. Island looked great, and they had the other thing with the camp out too this time is, unlike the last time, they have done significant improvements to the cell reception on the island. I had 5G all over the island, so I was never really out of contact for too long. But got the tour. They have a museum there for the island, because the island was basically, they had quarries on the island, and that's how they like built a town that's on the island, was through the quarries. And there are people who live there year-round. But there's about a 12-week period on the island where the ferry will not go. So if you live there and you need, like, food and stuff, you can actually – it's kind of cool is you could – I think, I don't know if it's by a phone or if you can go to a website, but you can actually put a food order with Kroger And they'll fly it over to you on the island.
Really? So from with a drone?
Not with a drone. It flies it to, there's an airport. So then it flies it there. Then I think you can either pick it up to the airport or they'll deliver it to your house. So, but like a lot of the restaurants and stuff, though, in the winter are going to close. So, like in the winter, you're not going to go eating out if you live on the island. Because, like, West Bay, we asked when we were eating at West Bay, we asked, are you guys open in the winter? And they're like, oh, no, we're not closed. Or we're not open in the winter. We close. We're only open during the summer. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, and I was able to confirm that the fish I ate did come from Lake Erie. So,
okay.
Which is pretty cool. So, but, yeah, Lake Erie, when I was a kid, you didn't really want to eat anything that came out of it, but they've done some significant cleanup in the lake, and it's not, you can eat stuff that comes out of the lake now. So, but, Dick, like I said, did do quite a lot of hiking. There wasn't, the trails were not incredibly long, but they were still fun. So, got me a cool coffee mug. Got to go see, there's a little, the island store there. So I got to go in there. It's always a neat place to go because it's a little mom and pop grocery store, and they had quite a bit of things in there. It was really interesting. But I love the place. I'd go camping there once a year if I could. But I won't because it's probably one of the more expensive places to go camping in Ohio. The campsite is not what costs you the money. It's getting there. Because I showed up, and I thought it was going to be like $40 just to get the car over. Well, no. It was $40 for the car, $25 for each of us.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was over $100 just to get the car and us over to the island.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, not next year, but maybe another year. We'll go back because first off, I love the place. You know, I would go there once a year. I would pay for that once a year if I could. But honestly, I want to check out other places in the state. There's some really neat places to go camping here in the state. So, but Kelly's Island. If you've never been there, it's worth it. It's a lot. Probably the biggest issue driving on the island is there's a lot of golf carts, like a lot of golf carts. Like downtown, they literally have parking just for the golf carts.
Okay.
But most of them can't go 25 mile an hour, so you get stuck behind one and you're piddling along about 15.
That makes sense. I mean, a small island like that, I bet you a lot of people, that's cheaper than driving around in a car.
It is the biggest island in Lake Erie. It's even bigger than, there is the Middle Bass, I think, which is, you can actually see, there's a monument from Admiral Perry, I think it was Admiral Perry, Perry's monument on Put-in-Bay. Yeah. And you can see the monument on the island from Kelly's, and that the monument is for the Battle of Lake Erie, which was, I believe, during the War of 1812.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you can actually see Perry's Victory and International Peace Monument is the name of it. And you can actually see it. It's a tall monument on the island. So, and in fact, Even on Kelly's, they had flags that say "Don't give up the ship." That some of the folks on Kelly's Island were actually flying from their house, but there's actually a lot of people building houses on the island too, which is pretty cool. Yeah, but Put-in Bay, I think you can take a ferry to Put-in Bay, but I don't think you can actually drive on Put-in Bay. I think they only allow golf carts there. Well, maybe not. Hold on a second. There's a campground called Fox's Den on Put-in Bay. And let's see. Is it just... Oh, there's cars on the island. Okay. I did go fishing, but I didn't catch squat.
Do you have to have a license to fish?
You do.
So you have a license?
Yeah, I do.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yep. I actually discovered an app that I might take a trip down to Hargis Lake or one of the closer to me state parks and do some fishing. But I found an app. What's the name of the app? And it's called Fishbox on Android. And it's kind of nifty because you can plug in like what you're fishing for, and it'll tell you like what kind of lures and bait that the fish like to eat.
Does it give you like? Does it sync up with your location to tell you what the best time?
Yes, yes, and it'll do that too. Location
and weather and everything, and tell you whether it's good for that or not.
Yeah.
Did you use it?
No, I just discovered it after.
Oh.
So what's it called? It's called, let me go back and look. It's Fishbox. And there is a subscription for it, and but it's not horribly expensive. What is it? Let me go back and look. I personally think something like this, if you don't fish a lot so that you just know this stuff, like I have friends who like just know this shit, you know, like they can literally tell you off the top what kind of, you know, I'm not going to necessarily know that because I might fish like once every 4 or 5 years. Let's see. It's $28 a year.
That's not too bad.
So no, I don't think so either.
If you go fishing, do they have a free version?
No, unfortunately. Well, I'm in the like 3-day free thing. So, but it's actually kind of cool because, like, if I pull the map up, it shows me actually like creek fishing places not far from the house here. Where I can go fishing. So I just need to like, one thing I probably need to do is get some more lures and stuff because I don't have that. I discovered on Kelly's Island, I don't have that much in my fishing box anymore. Personally, my favorite kind of fishing is like bait, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like worm in a bobber or a minnow in a bobber or something like that. That, you know, because put your line in and you just sit there. But probably one neat thing, though, about Kelly's, though, is being near the campground. They do have a special place where you can go to clean your fish. And I think that's mostly so that the campground doesn't smell like rotten fish. You know, from all the fish guts and stuff. But and Kelly's Island is kind of like a more family-friendly thing. Now, Put-in Bay... It's just full of like bars and stuff. So, you know, if you like to drink and stuff, it's probably a good place to go. Probably better than Kelly's for sure. But I don't, you know me, I don't drink. So it's like, it doesn't really appeal to me anymore. least not anymore. Dan knew me when I drank. But one thing you can't see from Kelly's is you cannot see Pele Island, which is the on the Canadian side of the Lake Erie. It's not that far from the island. I think, can you get there from, is there a ferry? I think there is a ferry, and it's in Ontario. Yes, there's a ferry from Sandusky to Pele. So, Sandusky's where Cedar Point is, by the way, if you did not know that. And you can get a ferry from Kelly's to Put-in Bay as well.
Oh, it's a bummer. I was trying to check out the fishing app, and I was going through the setup of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh no, I should have chose something different. And I went to go back, and I pressed the back button. Now I got to go through the whole setup again. Oh.
I want to add a place here. Let's see. Oh wait, I don't want to add a place. Let me see. Okay.
God, their setup code is too long.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
Can I add a place that I know about on here? Because I was trying to add Hargis Lake on there.
Oh, you know, if you really want to get into this, you could pay $79 for a lifetime.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what would be interesting. I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out. I would love to get back in to do more fishing. I haven't gone fishing in over a year.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I pull up Hargis Lake, which is probably one of the, it's a smaller state park. It's A.W. Marion State Park. It's about 17 miles from me. And right now it says the bite is hot right now in the evening. It's 81% is the score for the bite.
Bite for right. What?
It, well, that's the thing, is it doesn't tell, I don't think, oh, it tells
doesn't,
you the
fish. Doesn't tell you. It's
just, yeah.
I was going to say, is that like sunfish or largemouth bass?
Right, right.
Trout, perch.
I will say what they have there is typically you're going to see crappie, bluegill, maybe some perch. I don't think they have any trout in that.
Is it a lake or a?
It's a lake. It's a smaller
catfish.
Lake.
Catfish.
Probably. I bet they probably have catfish in there. Yeah. I know, like Lake Erie will have walleye, and perch. And I did see a guy pull out a bass out of there. So. And just a little bit up the road from there is a place called Wolf Pond. 81% bite. Let's see, what's this sitting here?
What do you catch a Wolf Pond? Wolf?
I don't know.
Bobcats.
Yeah. King you. I also like to find, like, the one nice thing about Kelly's is there is a little boat dock, uh-huh, that you can fish from, and that's where Luke and I were throwing our lines in. The only problem was it's kind of really in close to shore and the beach, and there was just a ton of weeds, and I swear I was snagging the weeds every single cast.
Wow, you'll do that.
So now on the there is a walkway that kind of you can go on to, but fishing from that's a royal pain in the ass because there's all these huge rocks on either side of the walkway. So it's not easy. You literally have to crawl over those rocks in order to get a line in the right way. But I did walk up to the, there is a kind of another beach on the other side of the campground that leads over to the North Pond State Nature Preserve. And that was a cool, they had a really neat trail off of that because it goes on this deck that walks around some swampy land there, which is pretty cool. And it had like a real, like a thing that you can climb on top of and take a, I took some pictures from the top of that, but it was really neat. You can also see remnants of the I want to say it's the quarry, or the rock crusher, I think it was from when there was a quarry there. Let's see, North Bay Quarry, is that? Oh, that's. Trying to think what they call it. The Rock Crusher. It's on the North Shore Loop hiking trail. Yeah, the Old Stone Crusher. Yeah, so there's big concrete structure there that where it was, where the Old Stone Crusher was, that would crush the stone they bring in and make get limestone out of that. It's pretty neat. You can walk through it if you wanted to. But there's also a lake on there called Horseshoe Lake, which I think was a resultant from the quarry. But
did you do any swimming?
It's too fucking cold, man. It's in the 70s. Was it really? Yeah, it was in the 70s. It was really cold. Luke did. He went and waded out into the water, but I didn't. My swimsuit was still clean. I didn't even put it on. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
It's too cold for you, huh?
I'm a pussy when it comes to that. it was just too cold for me. I did go sit. There was a bench down there. I sat on the beach, on the bench, just kind of watching people.
Well, at least you had a good time.
Yeah, that's all I was part of. And I had a s'more too. Actually, I had two. One on each night. We had a campfire. I bought some of them Hershey's. Hershey makes caramel filled candy bars.
I saw that. How were they?
For s'mores, and that's what I made with my s'more with. Oh man, it was so good. It was pretty good. But yeah. If you want, to me, that was about the perfect way to eat a s'more. Some people like to make s'mores out of Reese cups, and that's okay. But this is just the right amount of weird, which is not weird, really. But,
yeah, I've done the Reese's cup in the past. I think,
yeah,
sometimes it doesn't.
Friend of mine,
it doesn't melt as well.
No, but a friend of mine, he's made s'mores with he took four Rolos and put the Rolos down on, and then put the marshmallow on top of the Rolos.
That sounds like it would be hard to melt those too.
I would think so too. These actually, well, it was also warm enough that these were kind of not melty, but definitely on the soft side when I pulled them out of the package. But So I still have some chocolate down there. And I think it's, we went with the I bought like what I thought were regular Hershey bars, but actually were the special dark version of them. So I think they're the special dark ones, and I don't know how well that would work on a s'more. I guess it would work on a s'more, but not what you typically want on a s'more, in my opinion. I like milk chocolate.
I prefer that too.
Yeah. Of course, more, you know. I mean, I guess some might like it. Me, I'd rather have that. I like a regular s'more. Not dark chocolate. And definitely not a protein bar, but I bet you there's some sick individuals that would cut up a protein bar and put it on a s'more.
I don't know. That sounds kind of
gooey.
I don't know how well that would melt or work. You know.
Yeah, I know. Well, the ones I have, like I have two flavors right now. Actually, I have more than that, but I only have like singles of a couple of the others. I got strawberry smash cake and Oreo or cookies and cream, and I don't think either of those would work on us more. But there is, let's see, what was it? Is this what, did I see this before? I might have talked about this the other day. Somebody out there is making, I think they're making, is this Retrobat? What is Retrobat? I thought somebody, I saw someone somewhere is making a modern version of the Atari 8-bit computers.
What was the 8-bit Atari computer?
Was that the
Atari 800, like the 400 and 800?
400, 800 is the first two. Then they brought out the XL line and then the XE line. But the somebody was building one that basically had an HDMI out. Is it this thing? No, Retrobat is another emulation thing. Where did I see it? I saw it somewhere. I thought that would be cool to own, especially since it would make it so much easier to hook it up to a modern TV. And I can't justify paying what they want to for the what's the one that the 8-bit guy makes? I'm trying to remember. There it is. It's the RM800. It's the RM800 XL. Revive Machines. Is that it? Yeah. For Revive Machines, it's the RM800XL. Looks just like the 800XL, but it's got HDMI out. It has a USB-C for power supply, but it has a standard SIO port for Atari peripherals. It has USB ports for connecting modern USB controllers, as well as a 9-pin standard Atari stick ports. An SD card slot. Yeah. I don't know if it's actually shipping yet or not. It's pretty neat looking. And And it ain't one of the mini things either. It's a full-on regular computer. Yeah, it's not available yet. Yeah, it's made out of Poland, too. That would be super cool to have. Yeah, I think I talked about that. I did record a retro arcade show like a few weeks ago. I think I talked about this. I think it runs a real... It's real... New, it's not a replica, but a new incarnation of the best 8-bit computer from 1983. Yeah, other than this webpage, there's not much there to tell.
Dun, dun, dun.
I still have...
Oh my goodness, it's 10 o'clock.
5,000 steps to go.
You better get your butt moving then, huh?
Yeah. So yeah, don't know where Joe went to, but we miss you, man.
All right, we're gonna play this out. You got a run or something between the now and the next show, or
no? My race ain't till July.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good luck on working out, getting your last steps in, and I'm gonna play us out. Here we go. Have a great week.
I am sure.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. What are you eating over there now?
I got a couple pieces of Russell Stover sugar-free candy.
All right. Gonna give you the shits.
No, not as long as I only have a few pieces. It's not Haribo sugar-free gummy bears.
All right, let's see here. I need a tab open. Isn't it? Oh, that, yeah, control, shift, tab. There we go. Oh.
I ran 3 straight days in a row, too.
Oh, that's good, man.
Good run this morning, really good run Monday. Or not, yeah, Monday. It was Monday night. When did UPS start taking pictures of your delivery? That's cool.
You know, it's not cool.
But
when you get a notification that your thing's been delivered and it's comes not with there. A picture and it's not even your Porsche.
Uh-huh.
You're like, how? And you can't even find that porch in your neighborhood. And you're
I know, right?
How? What happened here? And then we call that FedEx.
Well, that's FedEx. Fucking FedEx.
But yeah, you know, sometimes I see that from UPS, United States Postal Service. Ah, I'm so sick of this damn expired certificate. How did it? I know I updated my certificate since then. What is this episode? 1,141. I don't know if we should probably start. I don't know if Joe's coming back.
Yeah, we should.
I was trying to check whether you sent anything in the email. I don't see anything from him. He didn't post anything in the model chat, did he? Oh,
no.
I lost anything I had in the mumble chat. What's that noise? Sound like Darth Vader.
I don't know what you're hearing.
No, it's whatever you were running over there.
I hear birds on your side.
Yeah, I've probably turned down my mic a little bit here. It's really hot.
That's hot. What she said.
Hot to trot.
Hot mics in your area.
Hot mics in my area. There we go. Take that. Let's keep those. I'll keep that. And we'll do a... Alright. Let's get this show going.
Sure.
Holy crap, it's later than I thought. Sorry, I ran behind on everything today. Here we go. It's 1,141. I do have the recording going. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.